Hey, how's everybody doing? Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Jake?
I'm good, good. Tim, how you feeling?
You know, not sick, so I'm doing great.
That's a plus. That's a plus.
I still have a cough, though, so.
Well, that's children in the colder months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kel, how you feeling, man?
Miserable.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm going to be the second highest scorer in my two fantasy leagues that I care about this week, and I'm going to lose to the highest scorer in each league this week.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And I'm really freaking mad about it, because that's been my whole existence in one of my leagues. So I'm mad.
Yeah.
But the Ravens won. That made me happy.
That's a rarity sometimes, so yeah, that is good. Well, I think it's everybody.
Guess I'll leave.
Oh, John! John's back!
John's back!
There he is.
Hey, John. Yep. They bribed me to come back.
We doubled his pay, actually.
Yeah, I tripled, actually. You know, when you triple zero, it turns out it doesn't really work. I was never very good at math. But, you know, wait, I did sign the contract.
So. Wait, how many back massages do you give him, Tim?
Apparently not enough. You gotta up it.
Well, to answer your inevitable question, my day was going great until I heard about Kelly's horrible fantasy football run. Now it's just ruined.
Yeah.
Look, I know everybody cares about your fantasy football team, and I just want to be respectful to you guys and give you an update.
Yes, well, everybody cares about my non-existent fantasy football team.
Well, I forgot that three-quarters of my team was on a bye week, and I didn't switch around anyone, so I lost.
So,
yeah,
Kelly,
I think I had to stop giving Tim advice when, like, my whole October was just nothing but a nightmare of chaos.
Yeah.
Kelly, are you going to hedge those bets?
I didn't want to text you and be like, hey, got any fantasy advice? Well, you know.
I know you're sitting in the ER with your daughter, but how do I set my lineup?
So, what do I do? So Kelly, I think the takeaway here is that doing what Tim did, it could always be worse than whatever you're going through right now.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely. No, actually, no, because Tim's not actually trying to win. I'm trying to win. So it is worse. It's 100% worse.
Is Tim just trying to have fun?
Tim had four people on bye this week and didn't replace any of them. Like, Tim's not trying to win.
I tried to give Kelly a silver lining on a platter, and he said, no, I want to feel bad.
No, I like my fantasy football to be miserable and just accept it rather than pretend that I love this thing.
Isn't your regular football miserable enough already?
No, Ravens are going to get to the playoffs. They're fine.
Yeah, the Ravens are really going to do it this year.
That's the problem, Kelly. They're going to get to the playoffs.
We just beat the Dolphins, man. What an achievement.
We beat the Vikings today, which is a little bit better.
Well, I want to beat this banter up.
So, Jake's like, I don't want to talk about football anymore.
No, I'm watching the time go by. So when I was lately, we have been showing Medley more and more TV, and I got to show her one of the greatest intros to ever exist in television, which is, of course, Star Trek The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
Good one.
It is the most iconic intro, I think, in all of television, I think, because that speech is just perfect for Picard. So I got to know, is there an intro that you guys can recite, or just, like, you know, you can play it in your head? Is there an intro that sticks out in your mind as hard as Star Trek The Next Generation?
Adventure Time. just had to say it before anyone else took it from me. Adventure Time. Best intro. Star Trek can't hold a candle to Adventure Time's intro.
Wow.
Well, sorry to blow you both out of the water, but DuckTales.
Oh, dude, that's a really good one.
That's a good one.
Hey, get fucked, both of you.
I mean, in terms of, like, recognition and, like, everybody knows it, I mean, Game of Thrones is most certainly there.
That animation is quite good.
Wait, wait.
Honestly, you know, it's just so amazing, so iconic, so breathtaking. Just takes a fucking faceplant in the end, though. Oh, wait, that's the show.
Yeah, it was great.
I haven't thought about the Star Trek intro in a while, but you're right. That's a really good one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, ones that are better. It's like, that's a pretty darn good one.
Yeah.
I'll say
in the same sci-fi vein, there's Stargate SG-1.
Stargate.
That's always a banger.
Yeah.
Stargate's good. But I will say True Detective Season 1 definitely has a fantastic intro that, I mean, when I go on to fantastic intros, it's ones that I do not want to skip. And
just
I have to listen to the whole thing, and the intro itself is like, you know, a minute something long. I will listen to the whole damn thing. I mean,
nice.
It's a fantastic series, but the intro, I would call it more of a murder ballad playing the entire time, you know, and the cinematic is like fantastic.
God, you would bring murder into this.
Damn, I would.
I was literally thinking of True Detective yesterday, how I like really want to see that show, or at least I definitely want to see the first season.
The first season's fantastic.
Yeah, I've never watched it, but I'm like, I really need to see this show because I know it's awesome. But yeah, thinking about an unexpected one, the Portlandia open. I love that opening.
Fuck.
I watch that one every fucking time.
Yeah.
It's just such a good beat. It's such a good vibe. I love it's just all the B-roll of Portland.
Yep, yep.
I love that opening.
Dream of the 90s, baby.
It evokes like a certain feeling, like, I don't know.
It has a very what's the word for it? Not liminal necessarily, but like it has like a nostalgic feel to it.
Yeah,
like
yeah, it feels very comfy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So there's a nostalgia factor to it, and like I said, because of the fact that like they had the vision of the 90s still there, like that was the whole premise behind it. I think they encapsulated that really well with just the intro, because it does make you feel comfy. Like, you know, you're about to laugh and have a good time, and you know, yeah.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
You've never seen Portlandia?
Portlandia?
I've seen it. I just...
Oh, okay. Well,
I've seen like maybe one episode about a chicken or something.
Oh, that's such a good episode.
Oh, that is,
that's
that is, yeah.
That's the one with Jason Sudeikis.
I'm pretty sure Tim forced me to watch it.
I probably did, yeah.
It's like the first episode.
No, the very first bit sets up the whole series, which is We Can Pickle That. No. That's the first episode. That's the first bit of season two. The first one is Put a Bird on It.
Yeah.
Put a Bird on It is the first bit of episode one, season one. And after that bit, I was like, this show is going to be one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen.
It's an amazing show. Amazing show. I'm currently rewatching it.
I need to rewatch it. Oh, man. It's so good.
But, Tim, you don't watch anything.
That's true.
Okay, I have a dirty secret. I have been watching a show recently.
Oh my!
Oh my God! How dare you,
Tim? You son of a bitch! So
how's
all these
Dora the Explorer these days,
dirty dog.
Wait, what was it? Anything we recommended or commanded you to watch?
Nope.
You son of a gun! All right, what is it?
It's not the bear. It's not even the crab. I've been watching South Park.
Oh my God!
Okay.
Wow! Didn't expect that one.
I wasn't expecting that.
It's like. Way out of right field.
I mean, Kyle, not really.
The last time I watched South Park was 2016. And it's really fitting.
I think me and you watched that episode with the Washington Redskins, and it was one of the funniest episodes ever.
I think we did, yeah.
Hey, that's another iconic intro, by the way, the South Park one.
I skip it, though.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little grating, and I know that's the point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're not good people in that show. Like, they're not...
Well, I think he's just talking about the voices trying to sing. Yeah. It's just like, ah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Kenny's got a good little
Do you guys know who does that intro song?
Oh, is it like Bowling for Soup or something?
Nope. Nope, and me being your friend and brother, you should know this. Les Claypool from Primus.
Oh.
One of the Godfather's bass guitar.
Whoa.
Nice.
That's see, John, sick.
John, this is what we were missing.
Yep.
This is what we're missing while you're gone.
All the fun facts that absolutely hit nobody except me.
Niche bass guitar knowledge.
Niche? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's about as mainstream as it gets.
Okay, now I don't know about that. But
I mean, in the bass guitar world.
Honestly, this is a vein that Tim might know, but the Cheers intro.
I didn't watch Cheers.
But the thing is, Adventure
Time. Your name.
Adventure Time has so many references to Cheers because that's what Ice King, well, Simon, would always do and stuff like that. So
wait, really?
Yeah, they reference it multiple times, like for some reason, like, Cheers is, like, the big thing in Adventure Time, and Fiona and Cake, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah. I have also not watched Adventure Time.
But Cheers, but Cheers was the one all the freaking time when I was a kid, so I watched the hell out of that.
Yep.
Yeah, I never was into Cheers, but my family didn't do hardly any, like, sitcoms. I didn't watch, like, Seinfeld. I didn't watch Seinfeld until I was an adult.
That's the only time you should watch Seinfeld, because it's Seinfeld. But, Seinfeld's pretty iconic, too. I mean, it's...
Well, I didn't watch it when I was, like, 13 or anything.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. I was, like, 25.
Hell yeah.
The final episode of Adventure Time is called Cheers.
Huh. Crazy.
For Fiona and Cake. The Fiona and Cake arc. That doesn't seem right.
He's like, wait a minute.
A whole new conspiracy theory to look into.
Hold on. The lore.
Hack?
Is Deep State coming just for years? Telling him Cheers.
There's a whole, like, 9-point, like, dissertation on the Adventure Time wiki about this. What the heck?
Mark, amazing. This is what we call a dunk, because Tim didn't know something about Adventure Time, and you did.
I know. Don't know a lot about Adventure Time, let me tell you.
And yet it's your choice for everything we pick.
Like, what is it?
Hey, Adventure what's your favorite?
Time. Adventure Time.
I can only imagine the like sources of inspiration that show has drawn on over time from God knows everything.
Yeah.
I will say a very close friend of mine once told me that Bender and Jake the Dog are my spirit animals.
I mean,
even really, one's a robot, but you know.
Yeah.
One's a robot, one's a shape-shifting dog that just wants to chill. I mean.
Same voice actor, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. same voice actor. I was going to say, I wish I could do his voice, but Joe DiMaggio? John DiMaggio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, his voice is just so. He's also.
He's
the
been
dad.
In a bunch of shit.
He's the dad or the king from a Disenchantment as well.
Yeah.
Which he plays, like, Jake the Dog is, like, the nicest person he plays. Every other character he plays is just kind of a piece of shit. But it's funny, because he's a nice guy. He just knows how to play a jerk.
I mean, come on, Jake, to get ready for his voice, you just have to gargle gravel for a moment and then start talking.
Yeah. well, we're gonna gargle some gugs.
I'd rather not.
I'd give that a 5 out of 10.
Right. All right.
Jake,
you're so much better at transitions than I was. Transitions are a lot harder than it seems.
Well, you know what? This is all to say, everybody. Welcome back to Age of Ashes, our flagship show where we finished up Kelly's thing. I went over to Kelly's house and I kicked him and I took the Game Master, the GM screen, and I said, "Sit back in your chair." And then I went back to my house.
Took your ivory.
It was really weird. He could have just asked for it.
I was about making a point, Kelly.
What's the point?
The point is the DM screen's like the Elder Wand. You have to take it through battle.
Right.
Okay, I accept.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bet on Kelly every time. I'm sorry.
I'm kidding.
I don't have a gun. He does. I mean, so we when we logged into our Foundry game. We had to go back through, like, the last episode to be like, what the hell happened last time?
Yeah.
So the thing is that the initiative tracker shows that we're on Garn, and I was like, I think Garn did his turn. Like, I think Kelly did something with Kezra, and now it's back to, and then Garn did something, because the Guts took damage. I mean, what else could it be? But, you guys saw through my ruse, and, decided to look at the source material. Let's just jump back into it, guys.
Oh, God.
Let's just jump back into it.
Can we vamp for more time while I figure out how to play my character again?
Good luck remembering how to play a fucking exemplar after two and a half months
let's talk about fantasy football for another 15 minutes. That way we can ensure everybody's going to log out.
Let me tell you about my bad luck with kickers this year.
Okay, so my question is, why do they call it fantasy football when there's no elves and dwarves involved? So
this real questions.
Because you live a constant fantasy that you think you're going to win something and you never do.
Oh. Dang.
Damn, that's life.
So, Garn, it is your turn. Let's remind everybody what the field looks like. So, There is a 10-foot wide hallway with a going left to right. It is Ambrose in the room all the way to the west. An enlarged ghost of a ghost friend of his, who have we said his name yet?
Yeah, Parker, it's Luca.
Luca is right. So he's looming over top of Benson and Garn, who are directly to the east, and then there are two Gugs next to them, and then there's a third Gug behind them, just sort of around the corner, and then Kezra, who is flying but visible, is on the far side of the room. So we have a long line of everybody mashed into one 10-foot wide hallway. It is a, I think, a textbook definition of a clusterfuck. It's just, it's a mess.
And I think we established that the ceilings in here were either 40 or 50 feet.
I think that they were.
I know I was high enough to stay out of the reach of the guns. I remember that. So they're not like 20-foot ceilings. I remember we talked about this.
Well, they didn't attack you because you were invisible.
Yeah, but I remember being high enough up that if I kept my distance from them, they wouldn't be able to get to me. I'm pretty sure you said the ceilings were like 40 or 50. Because the hallway's ceilings were like 20.
Oh, right. Yeah. The hallway would definitely not be that big, but yeah. So this crumbled hall that you're in would get you out of reach of them, I think, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, so... Garn, have we vamped enough for you to remember?
Yes, we have, yeah. Okay. I was trying to decide between the two things I normally do, which is Titan's Breaker, Fracture Mountains, or if I'm going to use Compliant Gold to just swing my big old Morning Star around. And I think that's what I'm going to go for. So I'm going to assume that I have the Spark of Transcendence in my weapon, because I usually do that, so if I don't, sorry y'all, free Spark Transcendence for me. So I'm going to topple the Pillar of Heaven, as Garn is going to bring down this now extended Morning Star. I'm going to do it right in front of me so that Kezra Derajan does not get affected, because I don't believe... Wait a darn tune second!
Watch your goddamn mouth.
I actually can make a line and hit all three Gugs. So,
I guess
let me just get all three Gugs while I topple the Pillar of Heaven. So I'm going to need your Guggy Gugs to make a reflex save that is going to be against my Class D suit.
Okay.
I forgot I need so many D8s for this class. it's just so many. Oh my gosh.
I don't know if it's just a foundry thing, but I can only see two Gugs.
No, so that is all you're able to see. There, you know that there's a Gug directly around the corner to the north, behind the second one. But you just don't have line of sight of him right now. A reflex save, you say?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just gonna roll so much dice.
So that is a 19.
Let me check.
That should be that a sounds fail. Like a,
that might even be a
I was going to say, that might be a crit fail. That was a very, very bad roll.
I know, for a Gug. Wow.
Yeah.
I know, for a Gug, that's like embarrassing.
My class DC is 28.
Yeah, but I'm enfeebled. I don't think that would affect my class DC.
No, I don't think so.
No, this is all strength-based stuff.
Wait, how's your DC 28? Shouldn't it be like 30-something?
My spell DC is higher than my class DC.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking in the wrong spot. My exemplar DC is 31. So that's a crit fail.
That is a crit fail. Okay.
That's cash money.
Okay. You want me to go through all the reflex saves, or are you just going to deal the damage once? And
Yeah, go ahead and go through all the reflex saves.
Okay. Second reflex save, so the one directly behind him gets a 30, so it's a regular fail, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Sick.
And the last one that's sort of behind the corner that you can see but Benson cannot gets a 32.
Success.
Success. Okay. So crit fail, regular success.
Not bad.
Not bad?
Not bad. You got to see the whole spectrum.
That's pretty good.
Especially no critical success.
Yes.
So 56 points of damage to the crit fail.
Oh, God. Okay.
28 to the success, and then 14 for the half.
Got it. Okay,
dang,
so
I rolled good.
That's some good. That's some good damage.
That is
damage, yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So that was two actions.
Yeah.
And is anyone hurting right now? I can't remember.
I mean, I'm kind of beat up. I'm at 60 hit points.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to spark my transcendence, and it's going to go into the Horn of Plenty. That horn I stole off of that blacksmith. And that sparks for... It bounces for free. So actually, I should look into the Horn of Plenty to see how many actions it takes. Dang, wait a second. I could drink that for one action.
Oh, shoot.
What the heck? Okay.
Let's go.
So I'm going to drink, and I am going to... I'm going to transfer all of the healing that I'm drinking to Benson. So let me see about that. I just see what kind of... Dang, how much is it?
Your character is so just, like, wild and cinematic.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to drink from the cool, Pillar of Heaven, and then I'm going to drink from my Horn of Plenty. And then the gods will weep.
Feed the masses. That's what it's called. It's called Feed the Masses.
Right. Some anime shit.
Your level or lower. Okay, so I need to look at Elixir.
Oh, so it's a specific level of Elixir.
Yeah, it has to be my level or lower. So
you choose the lowest, right?
You could probably do like a major heal.
Moderate. Because greater is 13. Yeah, so next level it'll get a bump up, but for now I did the level 9 one, which is still pretty great at 5d6 plus 12.
Yeah, moderate.
Take it.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So I'm gonna be rolling Black Oak Workshop dice, which, as you guys know, whenever I roll these D6s, they're so cool. I just seem to roll high with them. So of course, now that I said that, they're gonna be trash, but
No. This episode is brought to you by Black Oak Workshop. Black Oak Workshop.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. 33 hit points.
Thank you very much.
And you get a plus 2 bonus for saving throws against poisons for 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's good, because I think when it comes to the fungus, I don't think that was that a poison? I was just seeing if that would actually do that, but...
I completely forgot about that goddamn fungus.
I know, because we were clearing it out, like, little inch by inch.
The spores are considered a poison, so that will help you with the poison, yeah.
Yay!
So nice. So, when this combat lasts another 3 episodes, we'll see if you remember that bonus.
And because I spark transcendence again, it actually jumps back into my, mace.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Is that the end of your textbook turn?
Oh, no. You can only spark transcendence once each round.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh.
Okay. My bad. So you didn't get those hit points, John.
Sweet.
Dang. Okay. So I need to find something else to do. I guess I'll just... it's still in the horn, though. The shift in eminence still happens, but I'm just going to raise my shield for my last action instead.
Okay.
I guess it'd be pretty broken just sparking transcendence twice.
Just
like,
just juggle this constantly.
Let's make his turn last another 10 minutes.
I know, right?
It would make the action kind of not have any point.
Yeah.
Okay, so after Garn's turn, it comes to the first Gug. So this Gug just took a major hit.
Oh, 56. That's not nothing.
So he is going to do his Furious Claws. So after taking that, he just starts flailing his arms back and forth, and his maul opens up and just screaming, and these arms just go flailing out. So he is only able to get 3 of you, but remember, each of these attacks is all at the maximum map.
Oh, right.
Each claw going against a different target, and then he is going to go after Garn first, obviously. So first one, 27 to hit.
I miss.
Definitely a miss. Second one against Benson. Jesus Christ. Natural one.
Yes! Jake's back, everybody! Welcome to Jake back with your eyes.
Hands can't hit what your eyes can't see, motherfucker.
Can I get back to playing a wizard?
Oh, sick. bad headbutt. You are stunned one.
Whoa, I love it.
Okay, good. So he's stunned one, but that'll happen on his next turn.
Next turn.
Okay, so last attack is going to go against Luca. 40 to hit.
Of course. Not a crit.
Okay.
Whoa.
27 points of slashing damage.
Retributive strike.
Yes.
Wait, how many?
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that in so long. 27 total, and then minus whatever.
12. I completely forget how much.
It's 2 plus your level.
So 14.
What level are we?
Yeah, level 12, so 14 off. So,
yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's so good.
Oh, that's right. So, and Retributive Strike, we...
And everybody within 5 feet of me gets to attack.
Oh, yep. I have reach.
Oh.
Because I'm a large guy.
Oh. Yep. Nice.
With the
this,
map.
Oh, yeah, this is with map. Right.
Tim, 16 and 22.
16 and 22 is 38, brother.
That's 38.
Huh. All right, 38 is a hit.
I feel like I used to have a 24 on my attack. I don't know, I might be remembering that. Everybody else do theirs while I get
Nat one.
Oh!
Hate to see it. Yeah, hate to see it.
God, yeah.
Why is it so much bigger than all the other numbers?
It's really
I want you to feel it.
Sloppy in the face.
All right, well, Your out-of-shape potato body is fatigued from that swing.
Oh my gosh, you kidding me?
That's a bummer. That
is terrible.
That's God. Awful.
35, Jake.
Yeah, 35, that's a hit. So a hit from Benson and a hit from Luca.
That was 17 points of slash damage.
And okay. 20 points of damage from the swing.
Well, fuck me, right?
Dang!
Okay. So that is going to be... Okay, so he missed. So there was a miss, natural one, and then they hit on Luca.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but now he's stunned. So let me make sure to put stun on his token. There we are. Stunned one. All right. Next one is going to be... This is the Gug that is on the ground. He is going to
lay there and think about his life choices.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's worth even standing up.
Probably not.
Eat the fungus, man.
You'd be surprised what they're doing.
You
in this
take minuses to your attack on when you're prone.
Yeah, that's true. Okay,
it's like a minus two to melee attacks.
Yeah. All right. So he will just stand up then. And he will also do his Furious Claws. So he only gets to attack two of you, though, because his reach is only 15 feet. So he can only go for Garn and Benson, or he cannot get them to go. So stands up, first attack, hitting Garn. Oh, let me take off. First attack, going after Garn. 29.
Me, yes.
Oh.
Clangs off the shield.
36 against Benson.
That move hits.
Okay. So this is slashing to the tune of 21 points of slashing damage.
So 18 points of slashing damage.
Okay. That was his turn. So in this room, so Kezra, you can see that these two are just like, their bodies are almost wrapped around each other, and they're just flailing wildly just down the hallway. And you can see Garn and Benson and Luca are just like blocking and dodging as much as possible. But it is the other Gug's turn, so this is the one that is like not in the hallway because he can't reach the other ones. So I think, let me see if he has anything to do here. Because he now sees you.
Yep.
And you casted a spell, so you can't really go, wasn't me, when it was a giant bolt of fire and you're just floating in the room now with your dragon wings.
Dude, I'm just here, man. Like, the fuck?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to be like, oh, what's that thing? And then ignore me.
So he is going to go over to the wall and begin climbing it.
Oh.
Nice.
So that is going to be, let me make sure that I have...
That's horrifying. Okay.
Yep, they, in fact, have a climb speed.
course.
Oh, dang. Of course they do.
So, alright, so speed of 40 to get to there. So 20 feet to get to get to the wall that you're directly next to, and then he's going to spend another action to get 20 feet up, and then last action will be to reach out with the claw. So he's 20 feet up, 15 foot of reach. So yep. That would be, yeah, okay.
Dang, I didn't expect these things to have a climb speed.
Yep.
Weirdly, so, I did.
Yeah. It makes sense. They can squeeze in tiny little spaces.
Yeah. So he is going. He's going to reach out with his claw, and it's not necessarily to strike you. I'll just say that.
He wants to pat your head and say good boy.
Mm-hmm. So that is going to be. Hold on, one second. It's going to be a 39.
I guess my AC or my
Oh, no, sorry. I was looking at acrobatics, not athletics. It's a 42 athletics to grab you.
Oh,
dang.
All right, well, that's going to be a crit.
Okay.
That was a good pat.
Yep. So he goes up and he grabs you by your calf and just gets yanked downwards.
All right, well, I am restrained. Fun.
Yep. So, top of the round, John, welcome back, man. It's your turn.
Well, I think I'm going to use my haven't played in several months token hand. I don't think I've used my cloak in this cavern. Do you guys remember me using my cloak?
I don't think so, because...
Yeah. Did we sleep after the purple bird?
No.
Did you use the cloak to get out of that thing, or no?
No, I have
that was not possible. No, he was not able. You can't teleport out of it. He didn't use it then. So I remember you asking about using it. So I guess you haven't used it.
No, yeah. You haven't. And the one time you did get teleported, it's because Kezra teleported you.
Right.
So right. Yeah.
So here's the question: do I go help Kezra, or do I stay here?
Go help Kezra.
Okay.
Yep.
Benson just looks over at Garn and the giant's spectral knight behind him and goes, "These are yours," and erupts in black smoke as he appears above the guy.
Is that a manipulate?
Ah, damn it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I imagine it is.
Yeah.
There's going to be two attacks of opportunity from these two goats.
Oh.
Oh, God.
I love how, that's...
Wait. Does stunned make it so you can't use...
You can't use reactions if you're stunned. That
okay.
is correct.
Okay, so then it's only one. Then it's only the one in the back. All right. That's good for you. so that is going to be a 41 to hit.
Yeah, so that hits.
Hit, but not a crit, so you still get to do it. So damage is going to be 19 points of slashing damage.
Sweet.
But you may continue.
I'm going to fall on top of the gug.
All right, so he's 20 feet up. So I'm gonna say that you're just gonna do the same thing you did to the dragon that one time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So falling on top of the gug, plunging attack.
Plunging attack. That's not
nice.
It's
the greatest attack of the game.
Plunging.
I went to roll my attack and I rolled a d10.
Wow. selling yourself short, John.
Yeah, it's right. Been a long time.
Weirdly, yeah, I rolled a 10 on it. So.
Oh.
Well, that was a natural 19.
Oh! Wait! God. Is this keen or no?
It's
keen, right?
Is my sword keen?
Isn't it keen?
Did you have the? It's the silver sword that's keened. Did you break that baby out?
I swear he
no,
has.
No, it's my adamantine sword that's keened.
No, you would have your adamantine sword out. You only have the silver sword out for the ghoul.
It's it's an undead. It's an undead thing. It's not
right. And the adamantine is keened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's gotta be a hit. Like, there's no way it's not a hit.
So it's a crit.
Yeah, easily, yeah. Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, my gosh.
That, so. Yeah. All right, so what is critical damage from Benson?
Do I get a card for that, or is it just...
No, only on natty 20s, but...
Okay, dude. All righty.
It's all right. You wouldn't get double damage if you got a card. You know that.
That's true.
yeah, don't worry about it.
38 points of damage.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, okay.
Thank
Very
you.
Good damage roll.
Does your sword have a special effect with that?
Crit effect?
Isn't it bleed?
No, I know with regular swords, I believe it makes him flat-footed, but I think we decided that he didn't have the specialization.
Yeah, I think Mark has it, but
John yeah,
right.
Elkwood had it. Yes.
Yeah, but yeah.
Oh yeah, Elkwood. Yeah.
Have this garbage new character.
Yeah.
You have armor. You have armor expertise, so you get the cool slashing resistance.
Okay. How do you want to say, because now I'm technically falling.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 20, so what, he was 20 feet up, so minus 5, so you take 7.
No, you just take 20 damage. You don't minus 5.
No, it's in half, I thought. That was half of the distance.
Yeah, I thought they changed it so it's half of falling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's 5 feet or less, you don't take any. If you fall more than 5 feet, you take bludgeon damage equal to half the distance you fell.
Okay, so 10.
Yeah.
Okay, that leaves me with one action left.
And you are prone.
Well, you teleported and attacked.
Yeah, okay. the teleport is the two action, yeah.
All right.
Okay, Viscount Ambrose.
Oh.
It is your turn.
All right. So... Ambrose, since, again, he burned all of his wonderful spells most nonsense, Luca's going to be doing the heavy lifting on this one. So he's actually going to use Act Together, so he gets one action, Luca gets three, basically. But what he's going to do is use his one action to enact Boost Eidolon, which targets Eidolon for one round, and if he hits, boost the power of your Eidolon's attacks, your Eidolon gains a +2 status bonus to damage rolls with unarmed attacks, which it is, technically. That's how Eidolons are.
Yep.
If it strikes, deal more than one weapon damage, which it does, status bonus equals to 2 per weapon damage to a maximum of +8, but four, you know, all that shit. So I think it's a +4, basically, at this point. So he just kind of like holds his hands together. He prays a bit. Luca is bathed in a bit more energy. And he strikes out at the Gug in front. Full map. Thank God. Let's see. Go on all the way over here. +23 to hit. Let's go. 26. Okay. 36. Sorry.
I was about to say.
Thank goodness. Like,
oh, no, it's a 36. Sorry.
36. That is hits.
Gotcha. Damage. 18. So 22 points of damage. Some of that is astral and frost.
They didn't have any weaknesses.
Okay. I honestly couldn't remember.
Nope, I'll go.
Okay, so he's on swing again. That's a miss. 27.
Yeah, it's a miss, unfortunately.
And final, because of the act together, I'm trying to see if he can do anything. No, he wants to save his reaction.
Okay.
Save his reaction, because I was thinking, I was like, I could do that to help Garn, but then Garn, I want to use his reaction on stuff. He's just on swing for the fences, Benson's playbook here.
I'm so proud.
I learned so much. Damn, that was a good roll, but 28.
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. That's it.
Kezra, it is your turn. You are restrained by this thing with its long-ass, gangly 15-foot, double forearmed arm. And you can see its giant maw opening up as you think it's going to do that next turn. What do you want to do?
So Kezra is, like, his arms are pinned to his side. He's, like, wrapped up by this thing. He is going to summon his Dragon Claws. That's a one-action verbal spell, so I don't have to do a manipulate. I am going to cast Shield.
Fair.
I mean, the only other thing I can do is try to escape, so... Okay. He will use his last action to try to escape. Which I'm sure is going to have to be a natural 20. Nope. Does not succeed. So,
okay.
Just fighting. He's got his claws out, but he can't do anything else. Yeah.
All right. Next it comes to Garn.
All right, so I'm actually going to drink the potion for real now, and I'm going to give the healing to good old Benz.
Thank God.
Drink up, Benson. 8, 9, 10. So that's only 14 plus 12. 26 points of healing, so slightly less than last. The dice give and take away. My spark. Oh, wait. Transcendence is sparked. Oh, gosh. Because I have this thing where I spark transcendence, and then someone is like enthralled by my greatness, so I get to heal him for free.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that creepy ability that I have.
Oh, the erection giver.
Don't do it. I have full health. Please, just get someone else.
It's only an ally within 30 feet. So Benson is too far. Is Luca hurt at all?
He took 13 damage. I mean.
Alright, perfect. So, Luca just sees Garn just like flick his hair back as he drinks this potion. And he just thinks Garn is so radiant.
Will save. Garn's bald. Will save.
That.
You say Garn's bald.
He is bald, I forgot.
It's his beard.
Luca imagines hair flowing from Garn as he drinks his potion.
So disorienting.
And you heal 26 hit points.
Oh, beautiful.
I feel like for a split second you look at Garn and you're like, is he Super Saiyan 4? And you're like, oh, never mind.
So that was just the first action.
Okay.
Do I also have something where I can make them scared? Let's see, is that Peerless Under Heaven? After you strike Transcendence, your impeccable battle form strikes fear. Alright, sweet. Okay. The creature in front of me needs to make a will save.
Okay. He's not doing good in the first place. Yeah. So we'll see how this will save adds up. 37, actually.
Ah, okay. Temporarily immune. Not scared by me drinking a potion. Who would have thought?
Yep.
And...
drink that potion so well.
Aren't you scared?
Look.
They call Garn the throat goat.
What's it's like that vine? It's like, oh, hey, want to drink outside water? It's like, oh, awesome. It's like, it's vinegar, pussy.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Garn's going to spend his second action, if you can believe it. That was always first. His second action, now that the transcendence has been sparked, it shifts into my weapon icon for free. And I'm going to strike out with this imbued weapon.
Okay.
Hopefully that hits with a 31.
That hits.
Oh!
Barely.
Thank God. Okay. I know. So I'm going to roll some dice. And I get some extra damage, extra spirit damage, because I have the weapon icon thing imbued. Oh, hold on. This one's cracked. Dang. It was cracked on the 7, and I was like, it's cracked. 8 plus 8 is 16 points of bludgeoning.
Timmy, please describe your kill.
Yes.
So Garn has just finished chugging this potion. He whips back the Horn of Plenty. He has his Morning Star, raises it, and he just holds it like a slugger and just whacks him out of the park into his little glug friend. And he's like, ha 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 ha! Home run for me!
He knows what baseball is. Holy shit.
He just invented baseball.
He is truly transcendent.
We played a lot of different games in Tal'Dorei.
All right.
Called Gunkball.
And it all happened in the future.
Yes, I live in the future.
What is time?
I can just imagine
anyway.
All the sweet gambling scandals in the future.
People will be arrested.
The guard glitches from existence, comes back, and he's like gilded in gold.
Okay.
My last action. I'm gonna raise my shield.
Oh my god. Okay. All right. So the Gug that you, the Gug you just killed, would usually be his turn. So it goes to the guy behind him. So he is going to. He doesn't have to. Oh no, he does have to take a step up. So he's going to take a step up and then do his two-action flail to hit both Garn and Luca. First attack on you, Garn. It's going to be 29.
And that's why we raised shield. That's a miss.
I always roll low against Tim. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I have lost like almost no hit points this fight.
Must be nice.
It doesn't matter. I'm playing, quote, a type of tank. And Benson is still the one who's just getting wrecked.
Yep.
And an even worse roll against Lucas, so nothing there. But now it comes to the juicy little snack that is Kezra.
No. Because
this Gug is going to he's got a bite down on you, man. He just has to. So he pulls you up to his mouth. That maw opens up. It opens up vertically, remember. Their heads open up vertically completely. So you can just see down into, like, his neck. So, attack with the jaw. Oh my god. Natural one.
Yay!
Let's go!
Make it good, Kelly.
Point of order. So I'm still up in the air where I was, where he grabbed me, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he...
We established he can his head can reach, right?
Doesn't right, so I mean, the, so I guess his first action would have been to bring you in.
Well, I mean, that's up to you. He can reach me from where he's got me grabbed. That's what I was thinking. The reason I asked was, am I too far from Benson to get Retributive Strike?
Oh.
Because if I'm still 40 feet in the air and Benson is on the ground...
It's only 15 feet.
He can't reach
it's only 15
me.
Feet anyway, so...
That's
because,
all I was thinking.
Yeah, so, even if, because the Gug is 20 feet anyway, even if you were in, like, in his square, you still wouldn't be enough, though.
Yep.
So, okay.
Okay, what's this say? All right, yeah, so, out of position, you can't use this attack until the end of your next turn.
Alrighty, then.
Nice!
So he goes to open up his jaw and pull you into it, and I'll say his jaw dislodges somehow. What do you do in this moment to like dislodge his jaw?
He like puts me in, and I manage to like wiggle myself sideways, and I get my like feet and my feet against one side of the mouth, and my shoulder up against the teeth on the other side, and I just like. Extend as hard as I can while I'm restrained across the chest, and so I just like, hear, like dislodge this thing's jaw.
You just hear like the Gug cartilage just go. So
I,
in which
I, like,
case,
dig
you...
some of his teeth into my shoulder, but it's like not that bad.
Right, right. Okay, so he is then going to he's gonna do a claw strike then with it, but. I'll say this. He's holding onto the wall with like one arm, so I just imagine he's just like picking you up and slamming you into the wall.
Yeah.
Because he can't bite you now, and he's got to hold on to the wall. So he's just gonna slam you.
He also has four arms, and I think he only needs two to climb.
Yeah, I know that, but I was just saying for theatrics. 29 to hit you.
29 is a. Hit.
Okay. I knew you have shield up. I don't know if that.
I'm restrained though.
Oh. Oh, so you can't.
AC would have been 29 even if I wasn't restrained.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. 24 points.
All right. I will. I'll break my shield. Shield block 15 of that.
All right. And then First action was to try to bite. Second one was that claw. So last one is going to be another one of those. But full map here. 25 to hit.
Miss.
Okay. All right.
And I wrench myself free.
Yeah. Because now he's got to fix his own jaw.
Yep.
So yeah, he tries to bite down on you, and you dislodge his jaw, and he just slams you twice into it. And you can see as he lets go, he's then trying to like readjust his gut jaw back into place. Okay, Benson, it is your turn.
Kezzer takes falling damage, right? Look,
he's flying.
I have my wings. So.
Oh, I forgot you were flying.
Yeah. I can hang up there.
Gotcha.
Yes. Well, sadly, I don't think there's a lot I can do there at this turn because I can't get up to the Gug. Unless he fell. So.
Yeah, he's 20 I'm going feet up, to... right?
Could you shift your sword into a spear and throw it?
It has to be a one-handed, though.
Yeah.
Isn't a spear one-handed, I thought?
If you wanted to shift it into
regular
something...
A regular spear or a harpoon is...
Yeah, okay. But I don't want to do that.
Oh, okay.
I mean...
You could delay. See if I do anything.
Do I need three actions to do that?
It just moves your turn. That's it. It would move your initiative order.
Well, I'm going to lay on hands myself, because...
Oh, yeah. Lay on hands yourself. Shit.
Then do that.
Yeah, heal yourself.
Yeah, please heal
yourself.
I need
to. So, I'm going to do that. Is it two actions to delay, or...?
No, you can't delay once you start your turn.
Well, yeah, so I mean, if you wanted to, you could like ready an action for if it came down swing at it, but I mean,
or you can just raise your shield,
or just raise your shield, yeah. So
yeah, I'll do that.
Okay,
heal myself, raise my shield.
All right.
Actually, I don't need to use an action to raise my shield. Already an action.
Oh yeah.
Don't you remember?
Yeah.
I'm stupid.
Oh, no. Oh, no, he has to spend the action to raise his shield, but you get a free reaction to shield block. Isn't that what we found out?
Yep.
Yeah, I forgot my character doesn't get anything cool like yours.
Yeah, it's the fighter feat that lets you raise your shield as a reaction.
For free, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot.
So you still need to raise your shield, but you're ready.
Intimidate.
Sure, I'll intimidate.
Why not?
I will.
Gonna yell at it.
He's got that mean stare. He's got evil eyes, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Evil eyes. Hold on, I'm pretty sure it's a plus 19. Let me double check. I just rolled an 18 on the die.
Oh.
So.
No, I think your hers is higher than 19.
Yeah, I thought I was.
Oh,
like
it's 22. 20. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
like
22. Oh my god. So. 41. Gus, wait.
41.
41. Crit success. So he's frightened 2.
You think that jaw is bad? Wait till you see what I do.
He's like, wait, what?
Okay. After Benson's turn, it comes to Ambrose.
So I don't want to move Luca ahead. Well, I can't. Garn has
He's a big boy.
Yeah, Garn has to move his dumpy body up at one more. So Garn. Go ahead. The positioning here is a bit odd. And so, yeah, he'll delay until Garn goes. Because otherwise he blocks Garn. Garn can't do anything, so.
Yeah. Okay, all right, so I will slide Ambrose's turn behind Garn. In which case it comes to Kezzer's turn.
Kezzer will fly to the middle of the room. Okay. So as far away from the walls as I can get.
So you used a move action?
Yeah, where was I? Was I here? No, where was
I? I mean, you would have been like right next to it after I let you go. So.
I'm gonna move. Yeah, I'll use a move action. So I'm gonna, okay. I'm gonna get at it.
Claw strike.
It's like, no, come back.
35 to hit.
Hit.
Okay. Not a crit.
24 slashing damage.
That's fine. It's fine. I'll accept to get away from him. You can go fight Benson.
Just get the fuck away from me.
It's going to be 40 feet up here on the other side of the room while he falls on you.
I'll take him.
And then I will... Let's see. Would be a good one to use. Probably just... Yeah, I'm just going to hit him with the old dragon breath.
Okay. And this is the one that was just hitting you?
Correct.
Okay. He is frightened too. Frightened too?
Yep. So I kind of just float myself to the other side of the room and just wrench back. There's a huge gout of lightning. Roll a reflex save.
Oh. God, that's not a good one with frightened two on.
Take that.
19.
Is that a crit fail?
That's a critical fail.
Yes.
Oh, God, oh, no. Let's go. No.
Big shit. Oh,
let's go. And that's a critical fail because he's frightened, too.
Oh, wow.
That's a Benson crit right here.
Yes, it is.
Let's go, man.
Benson was like, hey, look at me. You're so scared. You have to keep your eyes on me. And then just hit him in the back.
All right, you're going to take 76 lightning damage. No. You're going to take... Oh shit.
Does she have that dangerous magic feat or whatever?
The Sorcerer's Potency. So that's
Sorcerer's Potency.
So that's another 12 damage.
How much?
Oh my gosh!
It's 12 damage because it's doubled. Because it's like 6 extra damage for the focus spell. Doubled.
Oh, right.
So 76? So 88 damage.
Oh my god.
I like to think you just pulled out a gun.
Holy shit. Pulls out a Glock and just shoots him.
It's fucking it was fucking Godzilla's atomic breath, man.
Right?
Melt this fucker to the wall.
Oh my god.
Thank you for hitting that fucking intimidation.
Dude.
You're welcome.
That was a ton of damage. Alright,
I can't shatter God pillars, but I can make people sad.
Make people really scared. Okay, after your turn, it comes to Garn.
All right, so the mold, is it right in front of me? Like, I know there was like a spot where like it started. I can't remember if it's right where that gug is, like 5 foot in front, or if it's further.
The mold?
Yeah.
No, the mold starts... it's one more because we were, it wasn't in front of this door.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So you guys got it out to the room.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. It started in front of this first of three doors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm gonna take a step up with my first action.
Okay.
And my second action, since I have the spark of the divine in my weapon, I'm just gonna topple the pillar of heaven again.
All right.
Why the heck not? So I'm going to need both your dirty gugs to roll a reflex save, and you best crit fail with one of them.
So now he's 20 feet up, so you're just kind of doing this at like an angle?
I'm going down, and I'm whacking up.
Oh, okay.
It's whacking up, right?
So right in the groin of the first gug, and the second gug, I guess the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just the tip on the second one.
That's the tip.
Penis.
Okay, 27 for the guy right in front of you.
Fail.
And the other guy that is up on the wall.
Frightened too.
His turn doesn't come around because he's still frightened too. 34, however.
Success. I have to.
Okay, sorry.
All right. Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, that one's already hurting. I think me and Kezra collectively did all more than 100 damage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, easily.
110, 120.
34 to the one in front, and then 17 to the one in back.
Okay. 34, and you said 17?
17.
Okay. And all right.
Unfortunately, I have used my... I've already used my Horn of Plenty for the day, so... guess it just goes nowhere, so I'll have to manually move my spark next turn, which is unfortunate.
Okay. All right, so there's going to be is that the end of your turn?
Yep.
Your turn?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Stepped and then toppled the pillar of the head.
Yep. All right, Viscount Ambrose.
And so, almost instinctual, as soon as Garn moves, they're going to act together again. Luca is going to take a step up. I said take a step up. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Crush Garn. He's dead.
So, he's going to step up. Ambrose is going to do the same thing. He's going to use Boost Eidolon because it is a cantrip and not requiring focus. He's just going to swing. I mean, that's what he's good at. My fucking Christ. Alright. Beautiful, beautiful. Hey, Kelly, get a card out for me, buddy. That was a natural 20.
It's a good episode.
We are so done with these guds. Just get them out of here.
Yeah.
This is a sword, right?
Technically, I would say...
Yes, we established this.
Like, yes.
He gets what type of weapon is it? It's a slashing attack.
Yes.
So,
yeah, it is slashing.
Nerve slice. The target is slowed 2 for one round.
Oh.
Whoa.
Double damage.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So, it's like almost... like, Benson could probably see it as just like him stepping up and swinging at the same exact time. Like, it's just professional artistry with the, like, how a soldier would move. And he does 54 points of damage.
Oh,
that was
God.
A good, good roll. 7, 6, 3, and a 4.
Dude.
Plus a 7.
Okay.
You know, with all that crap. So, 54 points of damage, and actually... Hold on. No, that doesn't... Yeah, doesn't do anything. Because I have a disarm thing, and then you can't disarm a gug, because...
Yeah, not really.
So that was one action. So, final action, he's just going to swing gun. Oh, wait.
Okay.
Add 8 to that, because I did empower him, and my app doesn't... attribute that immediately.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, he still up even.
Oh, yeah. So. But still, 8 damage.
Okay.
Yep, and plus 18 to hit, maybe? No, it's a mess, of course. 23 to hit.
All right.
Yeah, dizzy.
Okay. Still slowed, though. Good
slowed
crit for that.
Too.
So, which means that he has only one action this turn.
What kind of fucking gugs up?
Yeah.
Don't you hate it when they fuck your gugs up?
When you fuck my gugs.
Fuck my gugs.
He's going to reach out and try to bite Garn. He's only got one action, so he might as well use it.
Get that pair.
32 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. 27 points of piercing damage. As this... disgusting, awful mouth comes down and bites you in your side.
Yes. Ah, so you do know how to hit me.
Slowed is always reduce the number of action regained by your slowed value. Okay, so does it go down by one or does he lose
down
slowed?
By one.
Down by one, okay.
Yeah,
or was it
slowed
two
for
one round?
One round was still slowed two.
Oh, okay.
It's a crit, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, so slowed just goes away then. Alright, that was his entire turn. The one that is frightened, so he's on the wall. There are two broken staircases to the north and south, but there's a door just below him.
I was really worried about that.
he starts crawling down, and while still, like, on the wall, he reaches down 15 feet, and as he's, like, getting down to the floor... And he starts banging on it. And you can hear him say, Zavalon! Zavalon!
Come on.
Oh, God.
And then the only thing he can do here is try to climb up again. And so the only thing he really, really does here is he just gets to the center of this. He wouldn't be able to get to Kezra because he can't really climb across the ceiling, can he? Let me see if it says anything about the ceiling.
That's kind of cool.
Nope. Doesn't talk about... Floor of this grand chamber is a foyer riddled with cracks.
There's I've always crack thought everywhere.
I've always thought if you could climb on walls, you could climb on ceilings.
Yeah, I mean, it is a climb speed, so it's not like that. That's I mean, what I the, mean. The fact
like,
that this
because
yeah,
it's a climb
yeah,
speed,
so.
It's kind of like implies they're like a spider or something.
Yeah, so I mean, so the only thing he can really do though is just get like halfway across the ceiling, but he's out of actions uh-huh. like after all that anyway. So, hey, he's only frightened one now. So things are looking up for him. All right, Benson, it is your turn.
Well, unfortunately, I can't sprout wings and fly. What does this door look like?
Big stone dwarven door.
Single door, double door? What kind of handles does it got?
It's a double door deal.
Can I jam my sword through the thing, block it?
Sure. So if we want to do, like, an athletics check to try to, like, wedge it in there, we can do that.
It would buy us time.
Yeah. Jam sword. You want me to make an athletics check for that?
Yeah, just make an athletics check, and then that will be the DC. You do it.
Oh, god damn. My last three rolls have been a 19, an 18, and another 18.
So if you wedge something, then would it just be an athletics check against your athletics DC then afterwards? Okay, all right. Sorry, I know you rolled well. I'm trying to remember the rules with mm-hmm. this. It's worse than try level. So if anybody tries to push against it, what'll happen is that it'll have to roll an athletics against your athletics DC. So.
Which is
pretty high anyway, but yeah.
Yes.
I think you should give him a +2 for his super awesome roll.
Yeah.
What I will give you is a hero point, because that's a fucking awesome.
Yay!
Thank you.
Acceptable.
Benson is smart about this. He knows that if that guy banged on a door, he's something's coming through there. Mm-hmm. So he played it right.
So Benson jams the sword into the doorway, pulls out the silvered sword, and does the evil maniacal laugh from Tom and Jerry as he looks up at the cug. No help coming for you, motherfucker.
Okay. Alright, so that is your turn. Kezra. Six coming for you, man.
Yeah.
You can see him crawling along the ceiling.
Being a real bastard.
If you move, he's just going to get an attack of opportunity on your tail.
Nah.
Yep.
You can just tell by the way he climbs walls his parents weren't married.
What's a gug marriage look like? Come on.
It's a beautifully disgusting thing.
So how do gugs make love? Wow.
Oh, here. Oh,
a lot
I
of mouth
flaps.
A lot of mouth. They spin around each other. They contort.
Kelly, you decide what you want to do with your turn yet?
You know,
should we continue to discuss Gugla?
I will. If he needs me to vamp, I will talk about Gugla.
It's like watching two plastic bags in the wind.
All right.
Picture it, audience. Picture it!
Let's see. I'm reading something. Okay. I want to try to do something cool. I want to try to do a maneuver in flight action. And what I want to describe is, so I'm 40 feet up, and I want to get away from this guy's reach by rapidly descending and then, like, catching myself right before I hit the ground, so I'll be out of his reach, but basically using a free fall and then a maneuver to not hit the ground. To kind of get by his attack of opportunity.
I feel bad, but I can't wait for you to faceplant harder than ever.
So I need to attempt an acrobatics check against a DC that you determine.
There is the DC of. So I'll make it his. I will make it his. Okay, I have one. I have one.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, so I'm about to try to do a daring maneuver to descend without crashing into the ground and taking damage. Okie doke. And Oh, baby. Okay, 32.
Oh, success.
Let's go.
Yeah, you're good.
All right. So Kezra just falls and then just whoosh, right before he hits the ground, spreads his wings out and catches himself so he doesn't take any damage. He's still hovering. And he's going to look.
You land on the ground right there?
I specifically land above the ground. That was the maneuver. I don't hit the ground. That was the maneuver. Otherwise, I would have just dropped. But I didn't want to take 40 or 20 points of damage.
No. Well, I was
fungus.
The mold is what I'm looking at.
I know. I didn't want to hit the mold either.
Yeah. No, you're fine. You're fine. Because what it said, I think you guys knew this, but the spore explosion that it does is a creature has to move into the space itself.
Yeah.
So I think if you are not on the ground, I think you're fine.
Yep, specifically not on the ground.
So I think your wing blows some spores around, but we're playing by the rules.
Flavor spores.
Yeah.
So has Benson not been in the mold? Is there not mold in front of that door then?
He has, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Teacher, you forgot to collect homework.
I should have had him roll for it when he landed on it.
I thought the mold didn't reach out this far.
No, it's covering the entire room.
Nice.
Go ahead and make me. Oh, here's why I didn't worry about it. Go make me a 4-2 save there, Benson.
Which I already get a +2 to, alright? Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because of the.
Oh, fuck. First bad roll of the night. Hold on. 4-2, 22. 24, 3. It's only 27. There's a 3 on the dice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can't all be great rolls.
Yeah, so I'll say that luckily Kezra went directly after you, so I'll say that just happened on the end of your turn. So it's going to be 2d6 points of poison, so 6 points of poison, and you're enfeebled 1 for 1 round.
So an unfortunate roll that should be a gimme for somebody like Benson, but you know.
Yeah. We'll see in the next round what happens. So. But Kezra, you have successfully hovered just above the mold spores.
I have 2 actions left, and I am going to use a 4th level Blazing Bolts on both of them. I think this one will get cover, but I can see him. So here we go.
I mean, you are... So when you're close to the corner like that...
You can just kind of shoot around.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So you get cover from him. He does not get cover from you.
Right on. Okay, so first attack on the one that I was escaping from, the frightened one.
Okay.
30.
30 is a hit.
Yes. All right. Whew, that was close. And the other one, 33.
That's a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Okie doke. Sick. And that's going to be... 23 fire damage to each one.
Please describe both of your kills.
Let's go. I kill it.
Yes. They had 18 and 15 hit points appropriately.
Yep.
My god.
So like I'm flying there. This thing is crawling across the ceiling at me, and I just like just lean back and fall, and just let my wings catch me as I'm about to hit the ground, and then basically just like. Basically, finger guns just shooting on in both directions. These 2 blazing bolts, and it just hits them, and they just start to disintegrate.
Very nice.
Okay. All right. Kezra, after your turn, it comes to Garn. We're gonna stay in initiative only because Garn, you look at Benson, and you can see him like coughing. And you see him coughing out spores. And you can see that, like, he's leaned. Like, he's kind of leaning leaning a little bit more than he should. He looks that, you know, it's what Enfeebled is doing to him.
Yeah.
So you can see that he's breathed some of the stuff in, and you can see he's like... so it's your turn. What do you want to do with this?
I really don't have anything I can do, unfortunately.
Okay.
Save him, Garn! Yeah. Save him! Use one of your 20 abilities.
Do we know if he just needs to get out? Is he in danger by staying there, or because he's already blown him up, or?
It looks like whenever he steps or whenever somebody like disturbs them at all, that's when the spores have been kind of popping up. So like when the one gug fell to the ground, you can see that like it spores just went poof, into the air. But then like they settled, and like when Benson steps again, you can see even in the same spot he's in, they continue to just shoot into the air repeatedly.
Okay, so he's still very much in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna call out like, Benson, come to me. I can help you. But I can't go out there. It's too dangerous. And I'm going to use battle medicine on myself, because if I use battle medicine on myself, I can remove the enfeebled condition. Because I'm enfeebled right now from Kimberly 1. I'm enfeebled.
I don't remember what that was from. You're enfeebled? You're fatigued, I know that.
Yeah. Oh, fatigued. Well, I'm enfeebled because that's when I pulled in my character sheet, I was already enfeebled.
Right.
I don't know what that was. Maybe it was a crit from one of those.
Yeah, I mean, we crit all the time, so.
Yeah.
I'm especially
with these things doing 3 plus attacks around, so. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm going to try for the master DC. Good, good, good. I was like, what if I don't make it? I made it with a 38.
Babe.
So it's a regular success. That is going to be 2d8 plus 30 healing. 939. Basically full, yep. And I lose the enfeebled because of the feat that I have. Paragon Battle Medicine. So, boop, that goes away. My AC gets a little better, but I'm still fatigued, which sucks. And then I have two actions. I think I'm going to move my spark back into my weapon for one action. And last action, I think I'm just going to be ready if anything comes out and raise my shield.
Okay.
Is there anywhere in this room that is safe from the spores, or is the entire room dangerous?
I was about to ask that. Stairs? Like the steps?
Yeah.
The hallway.
The hallway is the only thing that is not covered in spores.
Like where we are, right?
Right. Correct. Okay. All right. Was that all your stuff, Karn?
Yep.
Okay. Ambrose.
So, waiting, I guess, for Benson to come over here. He's going to have. Okay, Luca will be... He's not doing the act together at this point because there's no enemy in sight. So Luca's going to move back. With one move action, he's going to move here. And his final action, he's going to pull out a staff. And that is
okay.
It.
Alrighty.
And Garn can see the staff looks, it's definitely magical. It has a bunch of carvings of different things on it, like animals, draconic stuff, elemental.
Okay. Benson, it is your turn.
Kezra's gonna shout out, Benson, don't move.
Well, I wasn't going to, because I'm not fucking leaving my sword there. I guess I'll just stay put.
Alright, Kezra is going to... He's going to move right in front of the hallway and to maintain his flight. Actually, he's even going to go up a little bit, too. But then he is going to cast Collective Transposition and move and teleport Benson back next to Garn.
All right. Well, we're not forgetting the sword.
No, we
still have to go. We still have to go that way, and I can go get your sword.
All right. Well, that solved that conundrum.
Sweet.
Okay. So that was Benson. I need you to make a Fortitude save against the Ash Web again. So this is going to be Another fortitude save. You're in stage one, so we can see if you go lower or if you can kick it entirely here.
You got this, Benson.
34.
Success.
Good success.
So, yep. So you kick it, so you manage to hack out a bunch of spores and spit them on the ground.
These things are nothing compared to 10 years of Marlboro Reds.
So the just make sure. You are still enfeebled, however.
Yeah.
I will write a note here to tell you when you no longer feel enfeebled, but it does not go away with the poison.
Don't worry, I'll take care of that next turn.
Sweet.
Something else happens. The door that you stuck your sword into. You hear gunk, 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 boom, as the door flies open and the sword goes swinging across the ground. It lands about here, so it's like
flies straight to Garn's chest.
Oh, look, it's right here.
And you see 1, 2, 3, 4 gugs.
Oh my god.
One of them, however, looks like this.
Oh, man.
Ew.
It's eating maggoty meat.
It is eating maggoty meat. Something... In one of its claws, it has a giant hawk of meat that is covered in maggots, and it's eating it like a turkey leg from Renfest. Okay. And what languages do you guys speak? I know.
I think we already
not
established
whatever
that
these things speak.
It's just common dwarven.
Well, okay. Well, the one gug speak their own language, but like this one looks a little bit more special. So I'm trying to see which one he's kind of talking as.
Draconic, dwarven, elven.
All right, as the door flies open, he's sitting there eating this maggot covered piece of meat like a turkey leg, and he just points at you guys and he gargles something in this gug like language, and you guys see that, and then you also hear the voice of some other creature behind you. It's like I'll see you guys next time.
God damn it.
Oh,
fuck.
Just when you think we're done with the gugs.
I know.
God damn these
it's
things.
The gug party.
Oh my god, there's so many. And they all do so much bullshit.
Sick of your shit, Jay!
Hey there, everybody. Jake the GM here to once again talk to you about our friends, MistyMountainGaming.com. They have this thing that they like to do sometimes where they do a collaboration with a throwback that I am so excited for. And this month, pre-orders are open on November 19th for the Wizard 101 Misty Mountain Gaming collaboration. They have a blue sandstone set that is absolutely gorgeous. It has this blue background with these gold letters and all these arcane symbols on it. Even if you're not a fan and you didn't play Wizards 101, these dice might be worth just getting anyway for that special arcane lover in your life. Head on over to MistyMountainGaming.com and check them out and sign up for the pre-order because somebody in your life is going to like this. And the holidays are coming around, just to remind you. And once again, remember to use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout for 10% off, and I will see you in the next episode.